Live from WNUR News, I'm Ilse von Heimberg. You're listening to the 6 o'clock news on WNUR 89.3 FM HD1 Evanston, Chicago. It's Monday, January 27th, 2025. Tonight on WNUR News, the Dolphin Show brings magic to Evanston with Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, the Stanley Cup craze, Step Aside White Noise, Brown Noise might be the preferred study sound, and this week's edition of the B-List. Those stories and more coming up tonight on WNUR News at 6. Thanks for tuning in. This year's Dolphin Show is Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, a modern take on the beloved classic. Here's Yumi Talud with a peek into this year's production as we move into the second and final weekend.
This weekend is the last chance to see Northwestern's 82nd annual Dolphin Show, the largest student-produced musical in America. This year, they're performing Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, a classic story with a modern twist.
I just love this version of Cinderella especially because it's really hopeful, and it's a story ultimately about like what happens when we believe in the impossible, and we be brave, and make bold choices, and the transformation that can occur when we do that. And also this version is about like making the world a better place and contributing kindness and hope to your community. And I don't know, it just has a lot of wonderful messaging that I feel like the world and the school could really use right now.
That was Rachel Rubin, a senior theater major and the director of this year's Dolphin Show. While this version of Cinderella has a lot of important messaging, the script only tells half of that story. Here's senior theater major Sophie Pasqua, Dolphin's very own Cinderella, or in this case, Ella.
Something that I didn't see growing up was like princesses that looked like me. It really hit me when I was doing the library meet and greet with all the kids that like, you know, Evanston is a diverse community, and you know, the little girls with like darker skin and darker hair are gonna see someone on stage like portraying a princess that actually looks like them, which, you know, when I was growing up, like, we didn't get that for a while. Like, Pocahontas and Jasmine were all that I had for a lot of years. It's going to be a really heartwarming moment, hopefully, for, like, not even the kids who are seeing it, but also, you know, the parents, like, the older people who didn't grow up with that. Hopefully, like, they're getting, some, like, the same amount of joy from it as the children, too.
With a six-figure budget, Dolphin's designers are able to make magic come to life. Here's third-year RTVF major Paris Bazzuti, Cinderella's sound designer.
I think what is really, really fun about doing sound in this show, even though I'm not mixing it, just getting to be around for setting up all the sound and dealing with all the equipment. It's equipment on like a level that I probably never would have interacted with in my life, and I'm getting to use, you know, Ethernet and all of these like professional things that you don't get typically as a student. So getting access to being able to use those and learning, you know, how they work and taking that experience, I think is something that if I wanted to go do sound professionally somewhere, like this would be a level that I wouldn't be able to get maybe in other places. Particularly for Cinderella, because it's so magical and fantastical and there's going to be so many kids watching it. It was really fun to like put together sounds that were using like these kinds of cartoonish things and not realistic sounds. So there's things in here that have like the sounds of like balloons blowing up and like drums and like bottles popping and kind of things that are all meshed together to make kind of a, just like a more cartoonish fun soundscape for people to listen to, and to make sure that any of the action moments aren't really scary for kids, too.
Yeah, true.
To a lot of people in the Northwestern theater community, the Dolphin Show isn't just a show. It's a four-year family.
To me, as somebody who's never worked on Dolphin, you're kind of like the face of Dolphin at this point. How does it feel to like be graduating and like leaving it behind?
It's really exciting and really terrifying. A lot of what I think I've spent this year doing is trying to set other people in the organization who are, you know, freshmen, sophomores, juniors up for success in future years, because I'm really excited that I get to graduate and move on and do other things. And I'm, you know, I'm happy with all the work that I've done for this, but, you know, I know everyone will be fine without me, but I also want to make sure that everyone has what they need to be successful. Because, yeah, I feel like I've sort of taken the organization, like, a lot of the people under my wing. It's weird. It's really weird. And I have been thinking about that a lot, where I'm like, oh, the show's going to be over in 2.5 weeks. And then who will I be? As I have been working on Dolphin since October of my freshman year.
well, yes.
And I've seen it through the good and the bad. and I, every year it's gotten better, like, in terms of people's, you know, mental health, in terms of our ability to just sort of, like, work together and collaborate as people. And I think part of that also was, like, coming out of COVID, everyone was kind of like, how do I be in a room with people again? But I really just hope that it only continues to get better.
That was senior theater major Rachel Olkin, second-time co-producer of The Dolphin Show. Even though it's in Khan Auditorium, The Dolphin Show isn't only for Wildcats to enjoy. Here's director and senior theater major Rachel Rubin with who she wants to see in Khan this weekend.
I think that's what's so special about The Dolphin Show is that it is for the Northwestern community, but it's not just for the Northwestern community. Like, it really does reach the larger Evanston community. So yeah, I'm excited to see a blend of people from different communities. It's gonna be so much fun. It's a lot of magic, a lot of whimsy, maybe some puppets. Oh, some beautiful ball gowns and ballroom dancing. I mean, what's not to love?
Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella has 3 more shows at Khan Auditorium this weekend. Run to see it before the clock strikes midnight, and be sure to hold on to your glass slippers. For WNUR News, I'm Yumi Tuna.
Moving on to arts and entertainment, it seems like Stanley Cups have been everywhere recently. Not the championship trophy, the water bottle. But why do people like them so much? And why do people have so many? Ella Barnes sets out to find the answer.
Do you think about the championship trophy awarded annually to the National Hockey League playoff champion? Or do you think about the water bottle? Chances are, if you're active on the internet, it's the latter. It seems like Stanley Cups, the water bottle kind, have skyrocketed in popularity over the past few months. All over the U.S., from suburbia to college campuses, the cup has become the accessory of the season. After the 2023 holidays, when the cup was a wildly popular gift or stocking stuffer, it seems nearly inescapable. People will spend hundreds of dollars on resale platforms to obtain a special holiday edition like Target's Galentine's Day drop. People will show them off online and in person for the admiration of others. Today, I talked to people who own Stanley's to figure out what all the rage is.
So we're probably going to hear some kinky boots going on, because that's where we are right now. Could you tell me your name?
Tiger Lee, and I'm working on kinky boots with you.
All right, fabulous. Okay, so you have a Stanley Cup.
I do.
So I chatted with Tiger, who got their Stanley for Christmas. They share that they would not have gotten the cup otherwise, though, because a Stanley Cup can run for $40 to $50.
How do I say this? I feel like a lot of impressionable people online tend to latch on to trends that they think will make them cooler or happier based on what, like, you know, like, influencers and people on, like, just, like, people who have a platform will tell them, which is not the healthiest mindset to have, and I feel like they promote a lot of things that are very mid and make them seem like they're these amazing things when they're really not, and I think the Stanley Cup is no exception to that.
Let's Tiger say, also mentioned knowing least, that yeah. the high and, cost of Stanleys are part
I think
of their
that,
appeal.
Like, people, like, that's why I think Supreme was such a big brand, because once you wore it, everyone was like, oh, like, it's a red logo, it looks stupid, but they have money. And I think a Stanley Cup, maybe that's not the whole story, but that's definitely part of it.
My name is Sarah Charles Lewis, SarehCharlesLewis. I do have a Stanley Cup. I actually have 2.
Sarah, unlike Tiger, was overall very positive about the cups.
Water is so cold. Like, when I want to have crisp water in the middle of the night, I fill it up with ice at the dining hall, and then I fill it up with water, and I have ice in the morning, too. And it's so nice.
Not only is the insulation of the bottle a selling point for Sarah, but the cup's ability to hold a large quantity of water, the straw, and the handle were all attractive factors. She also said that she finds herself drinking more water on a regular basis because of the cup.
Please.
I'm Anna Rico.
Do you have a Stanley Cup?
I do. I have... So first one I bought, and then I won one at a grad party, and then I got another one as a grad gift, and then my grandmother gave me one.
Okay, yeah. Do you think you use them all, like, frequently?
I use 2 of them frequently. I used to use the third one a lot, like, at home, but, like, now since coming to college, I don't use as much. But 2 of them I use, like, all the time, my tea one and my, like, classic... handle Stanley.
The Stanley website separates its bottles into 3 categories: quenchers, ice flows, and water bottles. Water bottles are the general catch-all. In the Stanley taxonomy, All ice floes and quenchers are water bottles, but not all water bottles are ice floes or quenchers. Ice floes are, according to the manufacturer, tailored towards cold drinks and have a flip lid. Quenchers, the company's flagship bottle, have built-in straws and handles.
Yeah. Do you think there's, like, an aesthetic value to the Stanley Cup as well, like, carrying it around?
Sometimes yes. Sometimes I'm like, yes, woohoo, carrying my Stanley. But sometimes it's annoying, like, especially if it's cold. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll be carrying it and my hand will get really cold. So some days I, like, choose to not bring my Stanley because my hand has to be exposed and it's really cold. But yes, I think there is an aesthetic value to it for sure.
To get more insight on what the Stanley landscape is like in suburbia, I talked to my sister,
Amelia Barnes,
and learn about what's hip about them with the ninth graders in high school.
My French class and stuff, there's, like, a lot of girls in my French class who have them, and they come in with, like, they probably have, like, 3 or 4 different ones. I don't get the point of it, because they're expensive, so... But, like, they all have, like, different colors, and, like, they, some people, like, match them with their outfits. It's, like, crazy.
Water bottle fads are no new thing. Stanley is just the latest receptacle to get wrapped in the reusable water bottle trend. Hydro Flask, Swells, Owalas, Yetis, and Camelback are some trendy water bottles for the past couple of years.
I really think, though, like, it took off because, like, it was trendy, and I really don't know why it was trendy, but,
That's Anna again.
Like, the one that I use all the time was, like a raffle item, which I don't think ever would have been in a raffle if it wasn't, like, a hot new thing. Like, I don't know, I feel like it's very interesting that it's now, like, children have, like, collections of them because it's, like, a big internet thing.
A question has been burning in my mind since I began to learn about the large-scale reach of the Stanley. Is the trend on the cusp of a decline? Here's what Amelia had to say about the question.
I mean, I don't think it's on the decline because people, like, I will walk into school and then, like, or, like, into a class and then someone will be like, oh my god, yeah, guys, look, I just got a Stanley, and, like, it's still happening. And, like, my friend got one today. She was like, I finally got a Stanley. So I don't think it's on, like, the decline. I just think that it's not going to be, like, a hot, like, trendy thing. It's just probably just gonna be a water bottle people buy. It's not gonna be, like, crazy.
This story about Stanley Cups has kind of turned into a never-ending rabbit hole of angles to view the story through. There's just, like, so much to cover. The marketing genius, the sustainability questions of collecting reusable water bottles, the Black Friday, like, squabbles in Target over the new editions of the cups, the fact that children are getting Stanleys instead of toys for Christmas. All I have to say right now, go drink some water. Whether instead of a Stanley is your prerogative. Reporting for WNUR News, I am Ella Barnes.
And finally, our oddity story for the evening. Now, you've heard of white noise, but have you heard of brown noise? Students are turning to a new type of study sound to help them focus. Juliet Allen reports.
What do you hear? If you said white noise, you're only half right. The clip you just listened to is actually called brown noise. This new kind of noise has been popping up as an alternative to more familiar white noise. But what is brown noise, and why do people use it? Well, white noise, which you're hearing now, has equal power across all frequencies, meaning that you're hearing all of those frequencies equally. Meanwhile, brown noise is more intense on the lower end of those frequencies, giving it a slightly different sound, more similar to rushing water as opposed to radio static-esque white noise.
I mean, it does honestly sound brown to me, but maybe that's just because it's called that. I think, to me, it sounds like the dirt, you know, like it's more of a, like, a deeper tone. It's just a baseline sort of thing.
That's Northwestern sophomore Margaret Sprigg Dudley, who started using steady sounds like white and brown noise to drown out distractors in noisy environments.
What I use it for is if I'm in, like, a public area and I'm trying to do, like, reading specifically, I'll, like, pop in the earbuds and put it on. When I got to college is when I started doing, like, white noise when it was loud, and I, like, would go and find a white noise playlist on Spotify, and I would play that, and but I didn't like how I was, like, always switching songs, so that was, like, distracting me, and I found one that I really liked that was brown noise, and it was, like, I guess I liked it because it was, like, deeper, I guess.
Sprig Dudley is not the only one who experiences improved focus from brown noise. Audiologist Gray Satkowski says that there is a scientific reason why steady sounds, like brown noise, help.
With steady sounds, over time, the brain can do something called habituate to the sound. And so what that does is it basically suppresses the brain's response to the sound so that you're not so aware of it and that you can pay attention to more important things in your surroundings, theoretically.
Like Sprig Dudley, Northwestern freshman Julia Price uses brown noise to focus, but she doesn't just use it to shut out external distractions.
For somehow it just turns off my brain. Like, I will have the brown noise playing and I'll be like, usually it's like when I'm reading, like on an airplane, or if I'm trying to, like, if I really need to crack down and do work. For me, like, that's so unheard of because I am, like, I'm thinking things all the time. But, like, for some reason I listen to the brown noise and it's just, like, quiet.
Listening to brown noise is said to have a variety of benefits, like improved focus and concentration, better sleep, and stress and anxiety relief. It's even been used as a treatment to help relieve symptoms of tinnitus. However, some research suggests that while steady sounds are useful for drowning out external noises, non-steady sounds like ocean noises might be better at distracting your brain while you fall asleep.
The more recent studies have shown that noises that aren't steady, such as ocean noise, is actually more helpful than steady state noise to distract your brain, get you sleeping, get you relaxing, and it's likely related to that process of habituation, so you're not trying to suppress that sound and put it in the background because that noise is more unpredictable, it's not steady, so your brain is paying attention to it more.
As research continues about the benefits and use of sound, it's important to keep in mind that its impacts can vary from person to person. At the end of the day, it's whatever works for you.
You know, everyone has their own individual preferences as to what they like too. So not only, like, you know, that aspect of the brain of, like, saturating the sound potentially could influence it, but also, like, what are some sounds that you enjoy? Because, you know, there's that aspect of, like, what just makes you feel good.
So whether you like to study and sleep in silence with classical music or in the company of white, brown, or even pink noise, happy listening. From Evanston, I'm Juliet Allen, WNUR News.
Thanks for tuning in to WNUR News. It's 6:20 p.m. Central Time. It's Monday, which means it's time for the B-List. This week, reporter Ella Barnes will fill us in on the Oscars, NFL playoffs, and Timothée Chalamet on SNL.
Welcome to the B-List, your weekly roundup of celebrity mess and pop culture. This week, Oscar nominations, Timothée Chalamet on SNL, and a Super Bowl matchup now set in stone. Stick with me. First, nominations for the 97th Annual Oscars were announced this past Thursday, January 23rd, in an event hosted by Rachel Sennett and Bowen Yang at the Samuel Goldwyn Theater in Beverly Hills. Amelia Perez, Netflix's musical about a trans drug lord in Mexico, leads with 13 nominations, with Wicked and The Brutalist following with 10 nominations each, including Best Picture. Cindy Erivo and Ariana Grande were both nominated for their acting in Wicked for Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress, respectively. Adrienne Brody, who plays a Jewish architect who immigrates to the U.S. after World War II in The Brutalist, also got an acting nod. Nominations have been delayed twice due to the raging fires in Southern California, which upended the entertainment industry just as Hollywood's annual awards season kicked off. The annual Academy Luncheon honoring nominees was canceled altogether. The awards show is set to be hosted on Sunday, March 2nd, by comedian Conan O'Brien. This will be his first time hosting the show. Next, Timothée Chalamet was on SNL this past Saturday as both the host and musical guest. This comes after his performance as Bob Dylan in A Complete Unknown. In his musical performance, he pulled some deep cuts from Dylan's discography, which he proclaimed in his opening monologue as his, quote, personal favorites. In his first musical segment, Chalamet performed Outlaw Blues and Three Angels, and in his second, he performed Tomorrow is a Long Time. In football news, the Kansas City Chiefs beat out the Buffalo Bills in a heartbreaking 32-29 loss, dashing the Bills' hopes of making it to Super Bowl 59. This marks the Chiefs' 5th Super Bowl in 6 seasons, giving them the chance to become the first team in the Super Bowl era to win 3 consecutive titles. The Chiefs will face down the Philadelphia Eagles at 5:30 p.m. Central Time on Sunday, February 9th. Kendrick Lamar is the halftime performer. That's all for the B-List this week. Check in next Monday to hear about what happens this week in pop culture. For WNUR News, I'm Ella Barnes. Looking at the weather for tonight, temps will get down to 26 degrees here on the lakefront with cloudy skies. Looking ahead, you can expect a high of 40 tomorrow and partly cloudy weather with a low of 26 degrees. However, wind in the afternoon will make it feel colder than the actual temperature. On Wednesday, the high will be 39 with a low of 29, clear skies, and sunny. Now, taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe, Northwestern President Michael Schill announced earlier today the university's plans to reestablish the Advisory Committee on Investment Responsibility next month. The committee's reestablishment was a component of the agreement reached with pro-Palestinian protesters during the encampment on Deering Meadow in April. Enhanced immigrant enforcement operations in Chicago were launched on Sunday and are expected to continue throughout the week. The Trump administration has said those targeted by ICE have active warrants. Rain moving through Southern California on Sunday and Monday aided firefighters in fighting wildfires. However, the downpours caused dangerous conditions of mud and ash on some roadways. No significant mudslides or problems occurred. And hundreds of thousands of Palestinians streamed into the most heavily destroyed area of Gaza today. Israel opened the north border of Gaza for the first time since the early weeks of the war. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 893. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Mika Ellison, and our reporters are Yumi Talud, Juliet Allen, and Ella Barnes. From all of us here at WNUR News, thanks for listening. I'm Ilse von Heimberg. Catch our next newscast on Wednesday, January 29th at 6 p.m. And now, back to scheduled programming.